In James chapter 1, verses 22 through 27, James says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Now let's just suppose for a minute that we took a vote on the practices that we are expected to perform. How do you suppose that would go? Now, obviously, the commandments of the Lord and Savior cannot be voted upon, and we're just simply required to follow them. But if we did vote on them, how would the vote go? Well, you guessed it. Somewhere in Texas, some elders did a poll of their congregation, and here's what the results were. Should Christians visit in nursing homes? 12% for, 88% against. Should Christians visit the sick in hospitals? 15% for, 85% against. Should Christians give generously to the Lord? 20% for, 80% against. Should Christians attend Wednesday Bible class? 39% for, 61% against. Should the church worship on Sunday evening? 49% for, 51% against. Should the church partake of the communion weekly? 78% for, 22% against. Should the church sing during worship? 90% for, 10% against. Now, I don't know about you, but it sounds to me like these elders have their work cut out for them. But what would such a poll look like if it were taken here? Suppose it might be much better than this. Oh, I neglected to tell you this, though. How the poll was taken. The members were not asked their opinions on these matters. Nor were they asked what the Bible taught on these matters. The elders conducted their poll by counting who actually did these things. If a person sang, it was a vote for. If they sat quietly, it was a vote against. If they came to the assembly, that was a vote for. If they stayed away, that was a vote against, and so forth. Now, considering that, do you think our numbers would still look as good if we only count the things each one of us did? Think about that. Too many people talk a good religion, and not enough people actually practice it. This is what James points out in this passage of Scripture. Listening to what we need to do and actually putting it into practice are often two different things. But it shouldn't be. It should not be. Jesus illustrated this in his Sermon on the Mount, which Evan referred to this morning, Matthew 7. Let's look at verses 21 through 27. Matthew 7, 21 through 27. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And he will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, notice they are doers of the word, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them will be likened to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Over in Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9, beginning verse 34. Nehemiah writes, neither our kings nor princes, our priests nor fathers have kept your law, nor have they heeded your commandments and your testimonies. What? He says, they haven't done it. They haven't kept the law. And these are what testified against them. For they have not served you in their kingdom, or in many good things that you gave them, or in large and rich land which you set before them, nor did they turn from their wicked works. What do we note here? Even when God was generous to his people, they didn't serve him. They didn't be doers of the word. In Luke chapter 12, looking at verse 42, the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing, or so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master's delay in coming, and he begins to beat the male and female servants, to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and at an hour when he's not aware, and he will cut him in two and appoint him a portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed these things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. To whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Notice, the more severe punishment comes on the one who knows the master's will but doesn't do it. Not that they won't both be punished, but the one who knew better is going to receive the severe punishment. In Romans chapter 2 and down at verse 13, Paul says, for the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God. Are not the hearers. Get that right. For not the hearers. I knew that didn't sound right. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but what? The doers of the law will be justified. It is the doers, not hearers who are justified. James chapter 2 and verse 14, James says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and does not have works? Can faith save him? It's almost as if James were writing this to modern Christendom, as it's called. Because they would answer this, oh yes, faith can save him. He can be saved by faith only. Is that what James says here? Is that what James says on this occasion? No, it's not. Faith without works, he says, is dead. Being alone. We better not pass up the warning given to us in Hebrews chapter 12, down in verse 25, when he says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. There's no end to the reasons why people fail to do what they know they should do. I think for most people, it's just plain neglect. Just plain neglect. They put aside for other things which seem more important to them at the moment. James says in James 4, verse 17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. The man who knows what's right and fails to do it, what has he done? He sinned. Now that's not a sin of commission, that's a sin of omission. But he fails to do it, and thus he sins. Israel had that problem. They rather pursued the sensual and the things that profited them. In Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning at verse 30, he says, as for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you behind, that are beside the walls and in the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people. They hear your words, but here it is, but they do not do them. Oh, they say, come on, everybody come. Come hear the word of the Lord. But then they turn right around and do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 10. Jeremiah said, cursed is he who does the work of the Lord deceitfully. Cursed is he who keeps back his sword from blood. Everyone who neglects the word of the Lord and does not do it is cursed. Everyone. And it's not just serving God by worship, but it's also the things that we should do for our fellow men. In Proverbs chapter 21, down at verse 13, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. In James chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, if a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Here James uses an illustration of something very obvious, how we should care for our fellow man. Then he says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But you know, some just assume that someone else will handle it. You know, someone else must have a lot of work to do. Because every time we think of it, something that needs to be done, we think, oh, someone else will do it. Well, who is this someone else? In Numbers chapter 32 and verse 6, Moses said to the children of Gad and children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? In other words, you mean your brethren to go off here and fight the war to take the land that God is giving them, and you just sit here? I could ask you the same question. We are at war with Satan. His influence is showing greater strength in our society every day. Some are fighting the good fight. But should your brothers go to war while you sit here? Someone else will handle it. Someone else. I'll cheer them on, but someone else will handle it. Others are just plain lazy. They only do what is convenient. Charmin and I were talking this past week. She was talking about some school event. She says, well, they'll show up if it's not too hot, not too cold. It's not raining, not wind's not blowing. On and on and on and on it goes. Well, that's the way people are. If there's no dedication, if there's no commitment, then maybe they'll show up. Maybe they'll show up. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, chapter 24. And down to verse 5. He gathered the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out to the cities of Judah and gather from all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year. And see that you do it quickly. However, the Levites did not do it quickly. Did you hear that? They were given a task to do. God's temple was in need of repair. They were sent to gather the funds, but they took their time. Just plain lazy. They just didn't see any real urgency in working for the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 2, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. What's he talking about? Amaziah did what was right, but he didn't do it with his whole heart. He was lazy. Downright lazy. Ah, there's always tomorrow. Always tomorrow. I can put it off till next week. Get around to it. Really need to talk to someone about Christ. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. If I get a chance. And you know how it goes. Chance never comes. I should go and visit Sister So-and-so in the hospital, but I'm too busy today. Maybe I'll have time some other day. If something is important to us, we will make time. Think about it. Think about your life. If something is important, you will make time. Why don't you find time for things that are important? But others just plain careless in their service. Kind of like Jehu, we read about in 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 31. Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord with all of his heart, for he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, who made Israel sin. Oh, he did some things, but not everything. People of that nature are people who work against God. Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 34, beginning with the first verse, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them." God expects careful work from His servants, as is evidenced by this reading. God expects careful work. You know, I met a strange man. He said that he believes the Bible is the Word of God, but he never reads it. He said the church would be more effective if more of its members were really dedicated, but he isn't. He said he knows that the church's assemblies are times for edification and praise, but he rarely, if ever, attends. He said the younger generation needs stronger spiritual values and visible spiritual leadership from adults, but he shows no spiritual values in his life, and he won't get involved with young people. He complained that the local church is not doing the work the Lord intended it to do, but he refuses to help in any way. He said he believes that God hears and answers prayers, but he doesn't pray. He says he knows the Lord is coming again, but lives as if the world will never end. He was a strange man indeed. But he was not alone. He was not alone. In the end, come judgment day, the Lord will separate the righteous from the wicked. Read with me, if you will, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, on down through verse 46. Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46. "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory, and all nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, the goats, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and didn't minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment. You be on the right hand or the left. There's no in between. There's no middle ground. You're going to be found on the right hand or the left, the sheep or the goats. There is no alternative. Will you do the Lord's work with earnestness and purpose in your life? We have no assurance of when the day of judgment will arrive. None whatsoever. And we have no assurance of life itself. The more the years go by, the less sure we are of life. But it could happen to us any time. So, we have to make the best of what we have now. Doers of the word and not hearers only. If you are not a member of the body of Christ, you haven't been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to do just that. To confess your faith in Jesus from a penitent heart and be buried with your Lord in baptism for the remission of your sins. If you have done that in the past and find yourself living in a way that is inconsistent with being a Christian, we do hope you will recognize that you will repent of your sins, confess your sins to God, and ask for His forgiveness. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we stand ready to pray with you and for you.